This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. We are studying Paul's letter to the Romans, and we are come to that great passage in Romans, which we might call the unfolding of the gospel of the grace of God. I'm going to read verses 21 and 22 here of Romans chapter 3. But now the righteousness of God without the law is manifested, being witnessed by the law and the prophets, even the righteousness of God, which is by faith of Jesus Christ unto all and upon all them that believe. Now notice the phrase, but now, here in Romans 3:21. It's a time period. In other words, after the failure of both Jew and Gentile, as we saw in chapter 1, 2, and 3. After the rejection of the testimony of God in creation and the law. Now that we have man guilty before God and there is nothing he can do about it, this is where the but now comes in. This is when God's grace can be appreciated. The background of Romans 1:18 to 3:20 is absolutely needed in order to set forth this great message of grace. This section, Romans 3:21 to 26, can be called the gospel of the grace of God. Never before this passage was the accomplishment of Christ on the cross revealed so clearly. In manifesting God's grace here in this passage, we learn about three people. First, we learn about God. Then we learn about Jesus Christ. Then we learn about us, and this is the proper order. First, we learn about God. What does it say? It says that he has a righteousness for mankind. Now, this righteousness is without the law. That is, it's entirely apart from any requirements fulfilled by man. The law and the prophets bear witness to this righteousness. Example, when Christ was on the Mount of Transfiguration, who was there? Moses and Elijah, and they represent the law and the prophets. And what were they talking about on the Mount of Transfiguration? If you read the passage, they were speaking about his accomplishments, his decease, which he was about to accomplish in Jerusalem. That is his work on the cross. Another example would be in Romans chapter 4. We see Abraham and David, who represent law and the prophets, demonstrating God's righteousness here in Romans itself. And also remember in Romans 1, 3, and 4, we saw that the gospel was promised before in the Holy Scriptures. So the law and the prophets bear witness to this great gospel of grace. But now, in this letter to the Romans, the gospel of grace is manifest in its full glory. It's no longer in shadow or type. So first we learned about God. Next we learn about Jesus Christ. We see that this righteousness of God is not by man's faith, but by the faith of Jesus Christ. He believed God and lived a perfect life, which gave all the value to his death on the cross. Example, in the Old Testament, a sacrifice had to be perfect before it could be accepted. And that perfection speaks of Christ's perfect life, and without that perfection, his sacrifice on the cross would not have value for us. So this term here, the faith of Jesus Christ, is very similar to what we see in Romans 4:16, where we read about the faith of Abraham. It is Jesus Christ who lived a perfect life of faith. He lived by every word of God and obeyed to the point of death, even the death of the cross. In the Old Testament, again, an offering had to be perfect before it could be accepted. So with Christ, he lived a perfect life and thus became an acceptable sacrifice. So first we learned about God, then we learned about Jesus Christ. Now what about us? Well, we see that this righteousness is for all, but it is only upon all those who believe. We come in by believing, not in our own merits or our own accomplishments, but in the merits of Jesus Christ. We are declared righteous by God on the basis of what Christ accomplished for us. In the gospel of the grace of God, we learn about God, Jesus Christ, and us. Let us rejoice in God, dear friends, and his Son, Jesus Christ, our Lord. We are justified by faith in what Christ accomplished for us. What great news. This is Dan Sheridan with CrossAndThrone.com. We will talk to you again tomorrow.